My name's Paul Murphy, and over the last two decades, one thing has constantly intrigued me. How do we get a consistent flow of targeted traffic to generate incredible profits and at the same time set up processes and systems that remove all the stresses and headaches that come with online marketing? Together, we will discover the unknown strategies that exist right now on how to set up powerful marketing systems that allow us to turn our businesses around fast and give us the power to not live life on someone else's terms that we never signed up for in the first place, but have the lives we always dreamed of. Traffic's the question, and this podcast will give you the solutions. Now, on with today's episode. Hey, what's up, guys? How's it going? I hope you're having an amazing week, start to your week. So I basically have been working flat out for the last few weeks, like literally 8-10 hours a day. I've got back into some serious momentum because I, obviously when my mum died, I kind of went out of a bit of momentum, and then I built my membership site, and the membership site allowed me to have a lot of time back, which was incredible. And and I'm still serving people at the highest level, but I've got a lot more time back. And the next episode, actually, what I'm going to do is I'm going to break down the behind the scenes, because we are launching our new bootcamp, like beta access to my new bootcamp on the 30th of April. So if you want to put your name on the waiting list, I'll just explain what that is. And then, like I say, in the next episode, I'm going to give you a full behind the scenes of what I've been working on, right? Because I can't wait to tell you. So it's tubeclient.com. The link will be in the show notes. And in that, what I'm actually showing people to do, what the bootcamp that I'm doing is, I'm going to be showing you how to start a wildly profitable consulting business. And in fact, if you just want to work with two clients per month, this will be a six-figure income, right? Just with two clients, and you'd only need to work part-time hours, or you can scale it up from there. And this process is obviously the exact process that I've actually been through with my clients. This is the process that I've discovered. You know, I invented it, right? Like, this is kind of something that nobody else teaches. Everybody teaches it wrong. And I promise you, if you follow this process, this is going to blow your mind. And the thing that I find really exciting about this is that you only need to be one or two steps ahead of someone else, right? So you can literally be... like, literally, a lot of the stuff I've taught over the years, I've only been a few steps ahead of you guys, right? Like, literally just a few steps ahead. But because of that, obviously people need somebody to coach them, need someone to learn from, and people are prepared to pay. And if it's one-to-one, people are prepared to pay a premium, because it's really hard to find one-to-one work now. Most of the times people are putting you in programs and courses and things. So the one-to-one thing is vital. So, you know, that's really exciting, and there's been so much going on, and I can't wait to show you that. So next episode, I'm going to go through that. But what I want to talk about today is my friend Marcus, who I've been helping behind the scenes to create his MIFKI, his membership site. So some of you might remember I brought him on the weekly call, the Traffic and Marketing Weekly Call, and he's come on twice. And give you a bit of a backstory about Marcus. Marcus and I went to school together. We both moved. I lived with him, actually, when I was 16 years old. My mum kicked me out, and I went and actually lived with his family for a little while because I had nowhere to stay. And then years later, when I started my business, I kept on Marcus's floor. Literally, he had like a walk-through bedroom to the toilet, and I kept on the floor in that room. And while I set up my business, and I had an office on Colchester High Street, and I had to walk up this hill. And Marcus, I kept on his floor. He let me keep on his floor. While I started my business, and then I moved down to Newquay in 2002. So after I started my business and I got it off the ground, I decided that I didn't need to live anywhere, like specifically I could live anywhere, and that was really exciting. So I moved to Newquay for a year, and then I was kind of a bit too far away from home. It was really great. I kind of had a go at surfing. I wasn't very good, and then I kind of thought that was fun, but I want to live a little bit closer to my family. Brighton obviously was a much better result for me, because it was 2 hours from my mum and 2 hours from my friends back home. So I moved to Brighton, and Marcus at the time was like, he was keen to move to Brighton as well, because me and him had actually both come down for a trip to Brighton about a year or two before, and that's where we got the idea to move there. So it was like, I'm going to move. So we got a flat together, and in that first few months, Marcus and I were doing a bit of business. Like, I had some websites I was trying to rank, he had some websites. I set him up with some affiliate websites, and we were trying to get these things at the top of Google, and it was really a real struggle. Then I remember Google like released some Google ads literally while we were so that 6 month period, which is quite interesting, when we moved together was October 2003 to April 2004, right? That's when I moved back from Newquay. And in that 6 month period, Google allowed you to start running ads for the first time ever, right? They'd never had it before. So that was the first thing. The second thing was, I think it was April 2004, Mark Zuckerberg registered the domain, the Facebook, right? Now, obviously, I didn't know that at the time. I didn't even know about Facebook till 2007. But those kind of two kind of interesting things that happened. But while we were living together anyway, we were kind of playing around with these websites, trying to get them ranked, and it was kind of weird. And then years later, you might have heard me mention it on my webinar, Marcus launched his podcast. This was 2018. Modern Art is Rubbish. And then I was helping him with some videos, and then we got him to the top of Google. And so Marcus, and a lot of the stuff I learned from business as well, weirdly, even though Marcus is more of a, he's a musician, he's an artist, he doesn't do a lot of businessy stuff. He's very interested in business. So he kind of gave me some books. The E-Myth was a book he gave me, and some other things, you know. So what we've been doing is that initially, I brought him on to the Traffic and Marketing weekly calls and with the Gold members. So we actually brought him on twice. Once was about a year ago, and the other time was a few months back, just before Christmas. And when I brought him on, we were kind of going through his process. And then we made an offer as well to everybody who signed up with, for his MIFGI, which was, I think it's just 10 bucks a month. Everyone who signed up, he was going to do an extra special podcast episode and give like a ton of his art. Now, the weird thing about that, right, is that two things happened. Like, we didn't get as massive amount of a sign up as we expected, as we would have liked for his MIFGI. And we kind of worked out why. And the main thing is that with his MIFGI is art, right? And my audience is business, right? So, like, if you think about it, it's not really a massive crossover. And there are going to be some people in my audience that like art. And a few people signed up, right? But I was hoping that we would have a better response for him, but we didn't, right? So what we then decided was is that because of that, most people who are my audience that are now signed up for his MIFGI, we decided that we were going to document the process over the next 12 months together of me running through his MIFGI, right? And then Marcus said to me like a few weeks back, he said, like, you should let maybe put one of the episodes out to your audience because they're going to really want to hear this, right? They're going to want to see this. And I thought, you're right. You know, this is really invaluable because I don't give this sort of information out a lot, right? So what I thought I'd do is one of the episodes that we're doing, because what we're doing over the next over 12 months, over 12 episodes, you're going to see the progression of the entire MIFGI. So I'll put a link as well in the show notes. If you want to sign up for Marcus's MIFGI, right, it's 10 bucks, 10 bucks per month. And even if you're not interested in art or anything like that, you're going to get this exclusive behind the scenes where Marcus and I record an episode every month talking about how we're creating this MIFGI and all the challenges. And I think that's the important thing is that most people have challenges, but they don't get to see how to overcome those challenges, right? And this is kind of the only place you can get it, right? Because I'm doing this with Marcus and I'm recording everything and giving you those challenges and we're talking through. In fact, I've got two episodes, right? On Bank Holiday Monday, we went to a cafe on Brighton Seafront. It's kind of a new set of buildings over in Kemp Town, up near the marina. And it's really funky. Like, they've got the swimming lanes that they just opened up there about a year ago. And we basically was in this really, really noisy cafe, but he's managed to cut out most of the sound so you can hear it. And we sat down and we just talked about his MIFGI, talked about the challenges, talked about everything we've got. So as a little taster, I'm going to give you that recording, and that is inside his membership, right? But if you want part two, that is going to be in the membership as well. And also, you've got like the last three or four episodes that we've already done talking about the challenges to get stuff that you can't get anywhere else, like behind the scenes. So I would urge you to go and sign up for that for like 10 bucks a month. It's a steal, right? You're going to get those things. And also, you get a ton of like arty stuff as well. But even if you're not interested in art, even it's just for the behind the scenes with me and Marcus, I would recommend doing that. So you want to go to tripfunnels.com/art, right? That takes you straight to Marcus's MIFGI. And then, you can sign up. But basically, here's one of those sessions, right? This is like part one of two. part two you'll get inside there, inside that membership once you've signed up. That's coming up. That's the next one coming up after this one, right? And then you'll get the back episodes and you'll get all the other stuff that he gives away, like the art that he gives away. But here's the recent episode, the one, part one of the thing. So without further ado, we're going to go straight into it now. And yeah, to sign up and get the rest, go to tripfunnels.com/art. You can actually sign up via his website, which is modernartisrubbish.com. There's a link to go straight to it if you want to check it out. And you can see more of his episodes. But just to go straight to the podcast, it's tripfunnels.com/art. So without further ado, like I said, we're going to go straight into it now. Hello and welcome to the Modern Art is Rubbish Mifgi podcast. So what we're about to play you now is with myself, Paul and Marcus.
Hello.
Say hello, Marcus.
Hello.
And we went to a cafe on... Cafe. We went to a cafe very near where Marcus lives on Bank Holiday Monday on Easter. In the UK, we get a bank holiday on the Monday and a Friday. We were going to do one episode, but it was so long, we've actually decided to cut it into two. So what you're now about to listen to is part one of the episode where we talk about the recent updates and progression with Marcus's podcast. So without further ado, let's get to it.
And just to mention that the sound is we've edited out the sound slightly to get rid of some of the background noise.
Yeah, so there was a really, really loud
family.
Kid.
It was a loud family, yeah. Loud so family. We had to get the AI involved in the editing. Yeah. So if there's anything wrong with the sound, that's probably why.
But that's not the official Modern Art is Rubbish sound.
No. It's much better quality.
That you were saying about AI, that people shouldn't worry about getting into the race of AI because everything will eventually be integrated.
Yeah.
And I was saying that's good if you're already further on in the game. But from my point of view, is that I can't write copy for my membership site or whatever it is, you know.
Yeah.
I can't write copy as good as an AI can.
Yeah.
So I use AI... I write the copy. I write like the little post that I'm going to use to advertise or to say advertise the podcast. Sorry, I was just checking the thing. To advertise the podcast, but it's not as good. AI can raise my game. Basically, you can write better copy than the AIRC, more tailored. So when I work with you, it's a lot less of a struggle for me to get what I want in terms of copy,
yeah,
referring to it to an AI.
Yeah.
But on my own, I use AI to help write like descriptions of podcasts and stuff, because I know I can still learn a lot.
Mm.
So that's where I think it's important, because if someone's not using AI, then they're going to be left behind if you're starting out.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting, isn't it? Because, like I was saying to you, AI, a lot of the marketers out there will say, you know, AI is basically, if you're not using AI, you're going to get left behind. And, of course, marketers like to juxtapose and they like to, you know, they like to throw stuff out there to get a reaction, because that's how marketing works. And that's how you get better ads and better things working. Because if you say, this is going to change this, people are going to look, you know. So... that's the thing with it. But I have never been worried about it. One, because like I have an approach to my emails, which copy's never been so... A lot of people struggle with copy.
Yeah.
And I've never really thought about it. I didn't really try and study it and learn it, but I kind of did a little bit. I kind of looked at the way people break paragraphs up and things like that in emails. But other than that, I just always thought about the problem that people have and tried to appeal to that. And just looked at like what I would want to read if I was someone's friend, and just kind of approached it that way. And a lot of the stuff I figured out, I don't think anyone teaches, but it works, right? It kind of works on a level, because an AI, I don't know if it's ever going to be at a human level,
to that extent, but I think it's obviously going to help you at the moment. Obviously, it's helping you prompt and helping you think through things, but I haven't used it. But also, the other thing that I was saying to you is that obviously AI is going to be built into everything. All the softwares that we've got, not only is it, at the moment, it's being built in as a thing you can use, but eventually it'll drive it. It'll drive everything because we'll get so used to it. And it'll. So I'm not worried about being left behind if you don't use AI, because I think it's important. But like you say, you're starting at ground zero with marketing, the MIFGI and things like that. So from your point of view, I understand what you're saying. It's like,
Well, that's the thing. You can do those little tweaks that I've noticed when I've been writing about. Sometimes I'll put adverts up, not adverts, but I'll put posts up about the podcast. And it'll say, try and change this word to get this. And then this is Gemini uses, because as I said to you previously, Gemini, it's a bit weird. I use ChatGPT and I use Gemini sometimes because they have different strengths. Gemini kind of says, why don't you try doing it this way? Have you thought about changing the way that you actually write this? This will give it more impact.
Yeah.
And you think, And in terms of time, because if time is what it saves me, rather than me do something, put it on there and it works, I know there's a basic level that I've done that it's not going to cause it a problem.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting. What have we done since the last one then? So I think we should talk about the we should definitely talk about the new strategy we have tried on your Facebook.
Yeah, so I've been using Russell Brunson's strategy, and I can show you. It's actually been quite effective. What I've been doing, what I always do, which is go onto groups and comment on posts and like posts.
Yeah.
And also post share images that I like, because we're an art site.
Yeah.
So
just to clarify, before we go into that, so what we actually did was we created your Facebook profile in a way that is branded to your podcast.
Yes.
So your page, we added the word podcast, didn't we? So Modern Art is Rubbish is now Modern Art is Rubbish Podcast.
Yeah.
You only join groups and Facebook groups and Facebook pages and things like that with lots of followers in the art niche.
Yes.
And you only join as a page. So if they don't allow you to join as a page, then you don't join. And then what we're doing is that we looked at your Burberry stats, didn't we, before we came out. And what you've been doing is just basically engaging in those groups. You're not trying to sell or do anything. No. You're just posting stuff, posting images, getting involved. And you've had, obviously, some groups have been very welcoming. Some have been a bit funnier with you.
Seems to be a lot of AI going on.
And obviously, but you've been doing it. You've been active on it every day. And in fact, before that, you were doing something similar on Twitter that wasn't even related to your business. So we just kind of moved it over to that. And because of that, what you're now doing, we looked at your Burberry stats, which is your podcast host.
Yeah, yeah.
And today, 15% up on last year and overall, just because you've been engaging and people come via your Facebook and then straight away they can go to your podcast.
Well, what's happened is my actual engagement, just by posting, I've probably spent maybe 2 hours a day, probably not even that, 1.5 hours a day of solid focus posting.
Yeah.
And from February, which I wasn't doing it, my engagement has gone up 29,500%.
Yeah.
I've gone from round about 300 likes to about 115,000.
Yeah. And your posts do really well in these groups, don't they? Because this is something you're so obsessed with, art.
Yeah.
Modern art. Everything that you post is on point, because yours always do really well, don't they?
This is what I've...
And what are you posting, like comments, images?
Well, what I'm doing is it seems to be that the algorithm likes when you comment on people, so when you engage with other people's posts, because I suppose the idea, and I've noticed, this may be anecdotal because I haven't measured it, but it seems to be that when you comment on other people's posts, not just like a comment and engage with them, but gives you a little boost on your own Facebook page.
Yeah.
So I've noticed the posts I've been doing, they were getting like maybe 3 likes, and now suddenly getting 21, 22 likes. The images haven't got any better. It's just that I'm posting more regularly.
So this is stuff you're posting only on your own page?
Yes.
And you're now getting more likes, more... That's interesting.
Now, the other thing that's interesting as well is that I think that if people were, like, looking to get more engagement and get their name out there, sometimes just having a comment and having a dialogue with someone in a group is enough for them to come and check you out.
Yeah.
So you don't need to do a post. The only thing, of course, is the difference between a post and a comment is that someone will share my post or share the group that my post is on.
Yeah.
So what they do is they share the group post, but of course something you suggested, it was that I had it down as modern art is rubbish, but you said put the podcast on there.
Yes.
So instantly it makes it more clickable. People look at it and go, it's a podcast.
Yeah.
And I think that has made the difference.
And a percentage will come over and listen. Yeah, of course they will. Yeah. When I did something similar, when I first launched the ATS Academy, I was going, that Russell Brunson technique, I didn't get it from Russell Brunson, I got it from someone else, but it's exactly the same thing. And I was going and putting value posts. So it wasn't, like for you, you're posting art, because that's what they're interested in. For me, I was posting like how I'm achieving stuff and giving people, you know, actually giving them gold, giving them value. And I was going over to groups like ClickFunnels, which had hundreds of thousands of viewers. And I would just post out that this is, you know, a lot of people were talking about how to get free traffic, free, like reduce their ad costs and things like that. And what I do, obviously, is relevant to that because it allows people to get free exposure on Google and YouTube. So I would, you know, put it in that way. And then I would, you know, list out loads of value, not selling, not doing anything. And then suddenly I'd notice a load of sales coming from my courses because they would come over to my Facebook group, sign up for my webinar, and then obviously buy the course. It took a bit of time. Yeah. And then I was speaking, I think I told you this, didn't I? I was speaking at an event and the amount of people that come up to me and said, I bought your course. And I say, how did you find out about me? They say, from a post you did on ClickFunnels.
Yeah, on that post, did you have Paul Murphy and so on, or did you just have Paul Murphy?
No, I just had it. I just posted from my page.
Yeah.
I think I posted from my profile.
Yeah, okay.
But my profile and my page are kind of they're almost identical.
I think if I was doing this for like a Mifkey in business, I probably would be going the Russell Brunson thing because there's a lot more groups that you get on as well. If people coming over from your personal page, I think I've got rejected from groups because they see podcasts and they just don't know anything to do with it.
Right.
I don't think it's a bad thing, but do you know what I mean? I think
I don't think it's the right podcast. I think just some groups just have a rule that you can't join a page.
Yeah,
you have to join as a profile.
Okay.
And you can't create a profile on Facebook called Modern Art is Rubbish because if you get locked out, you need ID. So you have to have a name.
Yes.
So... But you still have plenty of movement there, and it's working.
Yeah, it's working.
Which is great.
The other thing is I thought was interesting. If I was in a... Because I was thinking about if I was doing not just the podcasting thing, sometimes I think it's good to get yourself out of the podcast head and be in a kind of like a Mifkey business head.
Mm.
And I was thinking, how would I create posts? And of course, if you just started off by commenting on people's posts and then working out what information you're giving them.
Mm.
So say if someone was asking, I don't know, about a certain marketing strategy, and you go, I know that. And then maybe a week later, when it's all died down, you can make a post based on that question that you answered in the comments section.
Yeah.
So I would be, because I've noticed that it's the same with images. You're going to be posting images that people have already seen.
Yeah.
But not everyone's seen them, particularly in Facebook.
No. Yeah.
What are the differences with Facebook and Instagram? Because I've been posting on Instagram as well, and this is really interesting.
Mm.
Is that Instagram tends to, again, this is my anecdotal kind of view.
Yeah.
It's not, I haven't measured this.
No.
But Instagram seems to show you more of what you've already seen. Like, so
okay.
If I've liked an interact with an artist, I go, he must like that artist, so let's just keep showing him the same people over and over again. But with groups, you never know who's going to post, so all it does is it thinks you like the group.
Yeah.
So you're constantly interacting with different people.
Mm.
So you're not just seeing the same people. You might do. If the people are more active in the group, you'll see them. But if someone new posts, it seems that Facebook algorithm just thinks, oh, you like that group. Not you like that person.
Oh, right.
So I'm always, and that's what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to increase my reach. So by sharing, and it's definitely worked. I mean, we looked at the stats on my on the internet, on our what's it, views of the podcast.
Sorry. Yeah, Burberry.
Got there in the end. And it definitely, compared to last March, which is kind of off a bit of a flat period normally, seems for podcasting, it's increased by at least 20 listens a day, I've noticed.
Incredible.
And that is not from that amount of work.
No. It's because you're engaging on Facebook.
Yeah.
People are finding you because your name is on your podcast, or on your page. So that's really good. And just to reiterate your MIFGI, right? So this is the way we're working it. And we may have to come up with a direct offer because it's kind of playing the long game with your MIFGI at the moment. So your MIFGI is a sign up. So your MIFGI is only directed at current subscribers that are fans, because basically your MIFGI is support the show.
Yes.
And people are only going to want to support it if they're a fan.
Yeah.
So we have to get people listening to your show, get them to be a fan, and then they'll support it. So we're doing this strategy. And what we should talk about is a strategy that we copied that I did that worked, that didn't quite work for you, not yet anyway. And I think we should mention it because it's quite interesting. So on my Facebook group, I noticed something about 6 months ago that allowed a post to blow up a bit on a Facebook group. And I'm no good at Facebook. I'm like, it's not my skill set. And if you notice as well, my Facebook group, I think it's got 4,600 actual subscribers or followers or whatever you call it on Facebook, right? I've got four members. So I've got 4,600 members in my Facebook group. And whenever I post anything, it virtually goes nowhere.
Yeah.
Because I'm not as engaged in the group, because I actually created that group so that people connect with each other. So when I post, even though I'm the admin and the owner, doesn't go out to the group. So I noticed this one thing that somebody did a while back, and I copied it, adapted it slightly, and it was like, if you put a post and then you say, comment yes, or comment me, or whatever, and then they comment, and then you go back in and manually add whatever it is, reply, and you heart or like the comment, that out of one reply, you're getting four pieces of engagement.
Yes.
And what it does is it then pushes it out to more people in the group. And then it does it again, then it does it again, then it does it again. And then suddenly, this post that I created literally a couple of weeks ago, where I offered a beta access to my program, has now got over 300... comments, it's got quite a lot of likes, and it's gone to a quarter of my audience. So even when it blows up, it still only goes to a percentage. It says I've got 1,000 people that have viewed it out of 4,600, so not even a quarter of my audience have seen it, but it's considered doing really well. So what we did with you, just to, before you say anything, what we did with you is we thought, well, if it's working for us, we'll try it with you. But you don't have a group, you have a page. But your page, as you noticed, was getting quite a lot more engagement and more likes. So what we did was we put it on there, and then me and your mum, I think, commented on it, but it didn't work.
I got like 5 or 6 likes. So just to describe it, it was like, do you want to hear a special exclusive episode, which we set up a whole funnel for, with a landing page.
Yeah, we went to the gym and spent 3 hours creating the funnel.
And then people, what they would do is they would stick a yes in the comments, and then I would give the link, because of course, what it seems to be, Facebook, and I've noticed is, you stick a link in your post, it doesn't like it. It only likes it if it's in the reply. That's why your strategy
worked. Yeah. So my analysis of this, and Marcus, you might want to add to this, is why it didn't work. And we're going back to it. So the first thing we're going to do next time is not create the funnel. We're going to do the post, then create the funnel. Because a post is a 2-second thing, right? Yeah. So we're going to do the post. So that's the first thing. But why it didn't work, this is my analysis. We don't know for sure. One, it wasn't a group, it was a page, so they might have a different way of working on engagement in a page. Yeah. So we haven't done enough testing to know if that's why. The other thing was that we're not sure that offering them a podcast was what they actually wanted. And we noticed that you did a Pinterest where you offered free art and it blew up.
Yeah.
So we haven't done it yet, but that's the next thing. And we'll talk about how that works. So when I came around today, you were working on some art. So we're going to offer some free art.
Yeah.
And hopefully that'll get the yes thing going. And then we'll see. I think if we get 5 or 6 yeses, we'll see whether it works. And the other thing was, when I posted in the group, the day before, it was only a day or two before, it said, you can do this once a week and it will push it out. They seem to have changed the wording literally within a day to, we may show it to people, we may not.
Yes.
Which was really odd. And when I went to do the same thing on my Facebook group to see whether it was just different for a page, they'd changed the wording on that as well. So I don't know whether they'd cottoned on to that as a trick. And again, that seems a bit odd in just 1 or 2 days. So I doubt it was that. But why they changed the wording, that was really odd. So the only way we're going to know is when this is my analysis. Obviously, I'd like to hear your take on it. But the only way I think we're going to know is when we blatantly just give them something that they want, right? And you said about free art, and you were going to give, like, rights and everything, and I said, just give them free art. Because the fact is, most of them are not running businesses. Most of them just want the art. So I think we'll just keep it simple. We'll give them we'll show them the art print, and they can get the high definition. All they've got to do is post gimme or yes or whatever.
Yeah.
And if that doesn't work, then we know for some reason it isn't pushing it out. So, well, what was your analysis of it? What did you think?
Well, I even did a paid ad, didn't I, to try it. And
that's
I filmed it because it
didn't work.
I mean, my reach was, by doing the first method, was 105,000. And then when I did a paid advert, it was 180 of my own
money.
Followers.
Yeah.
Or 180 people. That was how much saw the ad.
Oh.
It was like, it was...
And how much did you spend?
It was £8 or something.
£8.
I mean, I might be getting...
So that's like $10.
So
it cost you $10 to go to 180 of your followers.
Let me just have a look and just see if we can see it. What I'm just doing is I'm just having a look at the... organic reach. This is 28 days.
Yeah.
28 days gone. Right, it's up 36. It's actually gone up more since I started this conversation.
Wow.
Because I was giving you figures from yesterday. 36.3,000% growth, right, from organic, 118,795 people reached.
Incredible.
From ads, 137. So I paid
£8 for 137. Yeah, it's crazy, isn't it?
So you may see an estimated daily result of 14,000, they said it is. So for paying, I could pay for the ads, but I'm reckoning I need to pay back £10 a day to get the kind of engagement that doesn't...
Yeah, I think it's the wrong offer. That's my take on it. So I personally would like to see it without ads. That's my thing. Because if it works without ads, then there's no harm in throwing a bit of fuel on the fire.
Also, is to have a look at where I have got about 20 people that seem to comment. I want to look at maybe where the territories are and think about maybe looking what they're liking and seeing if they're all liking the same art. Maybe look at that and tailor the art. So I do loads of different styles.
Mm.
So maybe I've picked one art, but it might not be the right art for the market.
Yeah.
And maybe it should be the thing we offer.
Well, we haven't actually offered a free high-definition art.
Maybe it's just going to turn art for, because that's the standard thing.
Start with that, because it's already ready.
Yeah, it's
definitely
already ready with the link and everything, isn't it?
Yeah, just put it out. And then the thing is if it takes off, you know, we'll just go straight to our co-working space and just get it done.
Yeah.
And we'll get the funnel. We've already built a funnel, so all you've got to do is duplicate it and change it. Pretty simple. So I think that's the way forward.
Yeah.
But we're not done with that process yet, but we do want to know for sure whether...
So just to reiterate, it was basically, I was putting in, you can get a free podcast, do you like podcast? I mean, obviously the copy was a lot better than this.
Yeah.
But you had the podcast. And then it was, if you want to get a free episode, So people sign up, hit the landing page, sign up, and give their email address. That would enter them into a subscription list, just the normal email list, which they can unsubscribe anytime. I made that clear in the post, and I'd send them a free episode, which hopefully would lock them into it. And then what I did was I put in at followers in a comment, but I got likes. I got a lot of people liking the idea that I was doing something. I think sometimes you can post anything and people would like it, but they just like what you do. And it doesn't matter what you do, it's almost like, I like the fact that you're posting and you're coming up and I want to encourage you.
Yeah.
So sometimes it's just people being nice. So
it's kind of a bit like, I said this to you the other day, it's a bit like for you, or for this type of process, it's a little bit like when we were youngsters and we wanted to be, me and you both wanted to be pop stars, right? So it's not a shameful thing to admit, but we did. And but you had to send a tape off to a record company. You're kind of doing that because you're kind of testing your audience and going, well, what are they going to actually want? So it's kind of issues. So you are getting loads of likes on your posts on Facebook, but we're not getting any, we don't really know what they want until we put different things in front of them.
No, I've got massive exposure in terms of the name now. It's growing, and it's incredibly with the Facebook. And as I said, I think this strategy would work with whatever you did. Again, as I said, my approach would be like commenting. And sometimes when I don't have anything to post, I will just comment. Because then that one person knows I'm someone who's interested in it. Because that's another thing I notice. It is a lot of, whether they're AI spam bots, but it's a lot of people that do those little emojis, like those little cartoons, that like love or hand clap or fire, like, or and you think either it's AI or it's someone with a really, really lazy strategy. And it's pretty clear that not all of them. Sometimes people will put, I love it, and it's genuinely a person saying, I love it. So I try and respond to everything. But sometimes you can see and you think, this is just someone doing some kind of crude marketing strategy. And what I've realised is what makes particularly stand out. So I'm doing what I've always done. I always believe in being authentic, right? And I think you can do that within marketing as well, which is something that you always tell me. Is the idea is just doing what you said, do more of what you always done. So I'm writing there saying, I really like, so you've got these people going, love, like, clap, brilliant. And I say, I really like the way you use the blue to depict the sea in that. I think it's a beautiful contrast against the shade of yellow that you used in the sky. Those kind of things. And then people are like, wow, the person who's posted that is instantly switched on, engaged, knows your name. They may not come over to you, but they know who you are. And then, so you stand out because it, and at the moment, it isn't a sea of people doing comments. Like, it takes time, but it takes time to engage with real people. And then you know. And you know, sometimes I've engaged with the people that have gone, thanks, wow. And I've got nothing. I haven't even got a like for them. And sometimes you think, yeah, it's probably AI, it's probably a bot. But I'm pretty sure from the figures, a lot of those ones are, because you will find groups where they're very tight, the admins are very tight as to what goes on and who they let in.
Yeah.
And I'm sure there are business groups, you probably know, so, where it's not dominated by people that don't care, but are genuinely interested people.
Yeah.
They may be smaller. They may be like 40,000 instead of 500,000. I don't know if there's 500, but
yeah.
But they're more engaged.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's about being real. I think that's the thing that's lacking. If you can be real and take your time to comment.
That's how you stand out. Like, going back to the comment of AI, the more real you are, the more authentic you are, that's going to be your asset.
Yeah.
Because that's the only way to beat AI, because we're going to start seeing patterns. Like, I can tell you now, anybody on this planet pretty much who knows a little bit about AI can tell you when an image has been generated by AI. They are so obvious, AI, right? They're amazing, but they're, you know, the lighting and everything is, it's an AI, there's an AI, there's actually an AI style, right? At the moment. So if you're personal and you're yourself, and you're putting all that into everything you're doing, AI can never compete.
No.
because it can only ever synthesize what it thinks you are to some extent. But if you're genuinely you, you know, and you feel different on different days and things like that, and you, yeah, that's your biggest asset.
But that's how they get, you know, how they get around it on certain groups. The group that I got a post that got 700. They don't allow you to share, which is interesting on this group, right?
Yeah,
but. Again, because it's got Modern Artists Rubbish Podcast, they can still click on the link which I've posted in the group, my name, yeah, and get through to it. But I got 700 or 800 likes on one post, right?
Yeah.
But what they do is they make you put the name of the artist, when they were born, when they were died, the nationality of the artist, the title of the work, and the date of the work.
Yes.
AI isn't there yet. It can't go out and find all that information.
No.
So there's no bot that can yet do it. So it's almost like it keeps it clean. But also what you've got is, you've got, it's tougher to get in those groups, but once, if you get that kind of gem, it's like, if you get in a really good business group, I imagine that's really engaged, it might be, they might screen the post more, but once you do get your post, the engagement is really, really big, because people recognise quality groups.
Yeah.
And they know it. And that's that thing you say. Because yours was in Russell Brunson's book, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's a quality group.
Yeah. Yeah, well, that's kind of one of the go-to groups in your industry.
Yeah.
And, you know, and if you go and give value in there, and because people are constantly seeking marketing help in there, and if you go and give value in there, then people always want to go and check you out.
Yeah.
And the fact is, that's how I built all my marketing systems anyway, because the more value you give, the more people want to come to you. And yet, a lot of the marketing in our industry anyway is built in a way of trying to trick people into all sorts of things. And you're also trying to train other marketers.
Yeah.
So it's kind of breeding this bad thing. Whereas I want to, you know, create things that make you want to go and do things and then make you learn the right way so that you help people in the right way. And that's kind of where I'm, you know, that's where I'm trying to head. But I also think it works so well in Facebook groups and things like that, because when you go and give value, people just automatically gravitate towards you.
Well,
so it's a really easy thing to do.
I mean, if you were like, because I'm obviously interested in just general marketing anyway, it's like, my idea, right, if I was on Russell Brunson's group, I'd be something like maybe saying, if I've got nothing of value to offer, I could actually start a post. I've been struggling with this, and I find, you know, and I'm working on this bit, and I've managed to find this little thing that helps.
Yeah.
Tiny thing, and just post that. What have you struggled with, or something like that? Something that gets it almost like a sort of like engagement. Would that be a good kind of post to do something? You know, would that get shared?
Yeah. So you'd have to think about something, because the problem is that art is so broad.
Yeah.
Most of your list, most of your people are not necessarily artists. They're probably just like art.
Yeah. Yeah.
So they could be anybody. They could be me. They could be anyone. Yeah. So yeah.
But I mean, specifically, if I was doing, say, I was doing for somebody marketing, Russell Brunson, slightly off topic, but I'm asking so that if like someone doesn't think I haven't got anything to give to post.
Yeah,
I've got nothing that I've got all knowledge. Could you start for like do a post that starts a conversation?
Yeah, and absolutely. Absolutely.
I mean.
Yeah, because what you'll notice is that if you go into, say you went into Russell Brunson's group and you said, I'm struggling with this landing page, anyone got any tips, right? Out of five people, one person will just give value.
Yeah.
Right? And then other people will go and check them out. Four of them will go, hit me up, email me, I can help you, PM me, because they're trying to sell you something.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, get in contact with me and I'll give you a calendar to book a call for a $50 consultation fee, or I'll build it for you and I'll charge you. That's what you get, right? And no, they get ignored. They get completely ignored. The one person who gives the value, the likelihood is that person's going to reach out to and say, thank you so much, I really appreciate it. I've also got this, blah, blah, blah. I've also got this, blah, blah, blah. And it keeps giving value. And eventually it's like, do you offer consultation? Can you build this for me? Yeah, sure, man.
Yeah, yeah.
How much do you charge? That is how you actually do real marketing, is by giving that value and people gravitate towards you. And then eventually they just say, do you actually do this?
Yeah,
I'll do it. You're not selling at all.
Exactly.
Just being that person. Who do you want to work with? Right? But in terms of an engagement post, sorry, that was off topic what you were saying.
Yeah, yeah.
But in terms of an engagement post, anything, like when we create YouTube videos, I always say, post a comment down below. Nothing. Post what comment? right? But it's lazy, and I do it. I do it because I don't think. But if I say, has anybody, I'm doing this thing, has anyone had this problem? Let me know if you've had this problem, because I've not had this problem. Yeah. Bang, 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 bang. Everyone tells you about the problem.
Yeah, so that's great.
Because
so,
straight away, they're watching your video, and you're asking a question which they're thinking about as well. And they'll tell you, I haven't even had this problem. No, I haven't, but thanks for the info. And that, same on YouTube as everywhere else, engagement boosts it.
Of course, everyone who's doing Myth Keys will be an expert in some area, or have a maybe above average knowledge within that area to be able to ask those questions. So,
and you don't have to do it with a question either. I've seen so many techniques. Somebody posted up the Star Wars crew circa 1977. It was missing Alec Guinness and C-3PO. What were all the comments?
Oh my God, yeah,
no C-3PO. That's not Star Wars crew. There's no Alec Guinness. There's no C-3PO. And they'd worded that deliberately. I tell you now. They put the entire Star Wars crew, because the first thing you think is, no, it isn't. And you say it.
Yeah.
You can't help yourself. The thing is, I don't really post on these things, but I always think it, and I go to post it, and then I stop myself. Because you can't help yourself.
Yeah.
Straight away, you're like, no, it isn't. But then you see everyone else putting it, and you think, oh, that's why they've done it. Suddenly this has gone viral.
That's why the post for Van Gogh.
Yeah,
how to pronounce it. It took me ages to get
it. You saw that funny thing I sent you the other day?
Just to explain, wasn't it? That was the that there was a lot of people getting upset about how I pronounced it,
Took it down, and I was like, no, man, that is the point. That is the point, because I think you were like, you were fine with it, because you said, I'm not sure, I think it's more like this. You weren't saying it's definitely this.
No. It was actually my pronunciation of the name was actually. It was. Someone said that's a pretty good.
Yeah.
Good attempt by a British person. You know?
Yeah.
You can't.
And the fact is that if you actually go and listen to that YouTube video we created, because we did that in the co-working space, didn't we? We created it as like a short before shorts, kind of a short, but that was always going to open up conversation, and that's why it did so well. And then you took it down. I was surprised. I was like, Mark.
You know what it is? It's that feeling of wanting to educate and wanting to be absolutely 100% accurate. But you realise you're trying to compete with people that are not doing that. And you're at a disadvantage. It's about, you know, sometimes it's like...
But that's what you're aiming for. If you get that engagement, it's gold.
But it's like with me, it's like sometimes I'd have a post, you know, you can imagine me having a post, someone saying, oh, I put up this an oil painting and I found out it's actually oil and acrylic.
Yeah.
And you go, oh my God, you know, I've got all these lights, I've got to take the post down.
Yeah.
You know? And I did that in a group actually the other day, and of course, you have to go back to the admin. So the admin could have said, sort of this.
But the funny thing is as well is that's what people do deliberately. They'll say oil and people go, oil on acrylic. Yeah. You know, that's what they do deliberately to get that engagement. Yeah, yeah. So the fact that you made that mistake, I'd leave it. Like, if it's getting engagement, if you're not happy with the fact, like, as a brand, you're not given correct information, I get that. You can always go and add a little thing saying, by the way, it is an oil on acrylic.
Yeah, yeah.
That's all you've got to do.
Yeah.
But engagement is king. And, you know, there's ethical and sort of slightly dodgy ways. I can remember I was working with this client a few years back, and we noticed that anybody putting in a review of something with the word scam just blew up.
Yeah.
Right? Because that's what people are looking for. People are looking at everything online is like, there must be a scam. So they always put the product and the word scam. But the thing is that what we done was, and it was a mistake on my part, we made a review where it said, it's a scam if you don't buy this product. It's a scam. We tried to make it a bit comedy, but again, it blew up because of all the engagement. People were calling him out and calling him names. Right, and he took it down. He said, I can't handle this anymore. And I said, it's doing its job. I said, but I would probably do the same, because what we've done is we've made it too clickbaity and not really delivered on the promise. So it's not really doing its job. And it was actually trying to sell a product, and it wasn't selling. It was just getting loads of hate. So we took it down. And that was a mistake that I made. But again, it worked because it worked on that basis of like, it's a scam if you don't buy this product. But no, in that instance, I think we were right to take it down. Because if you want to be an ethical marketer, There's nothing wrong with being a bit clickbait as long as you deliver on that clickbait.
Yes.
You know, Alex Becker does it all the time, but people love him for it.
If people really feel badly done by when you've done it, that's when it goes. I don't feel bad if someone.
But most people don't care. See, that's the thing. Yeah. Me and you care.
Yeah.
But most people don't.
But I'm quite happy to be in that situation where I have to make those decisions and decide is this aligned?
Yeah.
Because it is about being aligned with who you are.
Yeah.
Essentially.
So that was Marcus and I discussing the creation of his MIFGI. Now, we've done some more episodes before that. And if you want to get part two and all the backdated episodes for $10 a month, you just need to go to tripfunnels.com/art. Right. Or you can go via his website, which is modernartisrubbish.com. And then you can see all of the podcast episodes. He does some incredible artwork and stuff for his podcast. Well, you really like that. And he's obviously got a ton of extra bonuses in there if you like art, right? He's got some, like, he's given away some of his own art. He's given away some, he's put together a collation of stuff. But in all honesty, most of you guys are not doing it for that. You're doing it because you want to get the behind the scenes. You want to actually see how the process that I go through when I'm working with somebody. And not only that, there's challenges someone has, because we all have challenges, right? You're going to have challenges, and this is going to help you overcome those challenges. And it's like a coffee a month, right? It's like the cheapest thing we've ever done. And we've done it deliberately like that because, and obviously you'll be supporting Marcus. Like, he obviously really, really, really will be grateful of the support. And we want to over-deliver on that as well. So, yeah, this is the place to get it, right? ModernArtIsRubbish.com or tripfunnels.com/art. $10, that's it. You support the show. You can cancel any time. It's one-click cancellation. But over, like I say, you want to stay in it for a while because every single month you're going to be getting golden nuggets that you wouldn't be able to pay for $10 anywhere, right? So, yeah, that's it. And, hopefully you enjoyed that. And don't forget, obviously, as well, next episode I'll be giving you the full behind the scenes of what I've been up to. So that's it from me. Have a great day, and I'll catch you soon. If you are tired of paying for ads that do not deliver and you need to reach a super targeted audience, driving them direct to your products and services with free, targeted, evergreen traffic on Google and YouTube, then our Gold membership is designed specifically to help you get results fast by claiming your first free Google ads. Now, the great thing is that your first 2 weeks are completely free. To get started, head over to iservefirst.com. That's iservefirst.com. Links in the show notes. And you'll be able to start driving 100% free targeted traffic to your business today.